Hello, and welcome to PKP Podcast, episode 11, the second in the three-part arc where Ash catches all of the Kanto starter Pokemon, Charmander the Stray Pokemon. The team is still lost on the way to Vermilion, and you kind of have to admire Ash's attitude. And, you know, he's lost, but that doesn't mean it has to ruin the day. He can still go off and catch all the Pokemon he wants. But Misty's tired, and you know, it doesn't help anything when Brock thinks he sees a bug on her, but it's really just grass. Some people find that more hilarious than others. But, you know, luckily Ash looks at the map, and thanks to his calculations, which are oh so trustworthy, he thinks he knows where they're going. And Misty, I guess at this point, is just so far gone she doesn't even care, decides to follow. And they encounter a Pokemon on the road. Because of the large shadow, Ash thinks it's a huge one and calls Pikachu into battle, but Pikachu refuses and chooses to cower. Luckily, it wasn't harmful, just a Charmander napping on a rock. Brock notices that the flame on its tail is weak and that it probably needs help, but after a few tries to get it in a Pokeball to take to the Poke Center, they have to admit defeat. But the Charmander has a lot of spunk, too much if you ask Ash, and Pikachu steps in to ask what the deal is and tries to relay that to Ash. And, you know, Ash doesn't do too badly at the Pika speak and the charades, and he manages to figure out that Charmander is here waiting for somebody. Since it belongs to somebody, and Charmander certainly won't go with them, they decide that it's best to leave it for the person looking for it. But, you know, Brock is still worried. And just as the trio gets to the Poke Center, it starts to rain, and Brock is even more worried, as the Charmander will die if its flame goes out. Ash thinks that if the trainer hadn't come for it by now, there's no way the Charmander would have waited around that long. Which comforts Brock, and I guess it shows Ash's innocent nature in thinking that trainers care for their Pokemon, but I'm a little surprised that Brock's the one worrying and Ash is trusting. But then again, Ash would have never left his Pokemon out in the rain, ever, ever, ever. And at this point, none of Ash's Pokemon have shown him the undying loyalty that the Charmander's showing. Certainly, Pikachu wouldn't have waited around for Ash, not at this point. Nor Bulbasaur. Maybe Butterfree would. And let's be fair, maybe Pidgeotto would have too. In fact, yeah, Pidgeotto probably would have. And here we meet Damien at the Pokemon Center, a trainer with quite the following who regales his friends with the story of his weak, stupid Charmander that he abandoned, telling him he'd come back for it, who's probably still there, ha 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 ha, and Brock snaps. We really get to see Brock angry here, and Brock doesn't usually go ballistic all that often. Ash and Misty are right there with Brock, and it's only Nurse Joy's intervention that keeps a Pokemon battle from breaking out, or, you know, a brawl. She says Pokemon are not supposed to be used in personal battles, and good for her, because they're not. But it's notable to me that, you know, people totally do it anyway. Using Pokemon to settle their personal scores, the series is full of people who do that, and isn't that half the reason Gary's even on his Pokemon journey? But because of this scene, the end of the Johto League is really special to me when Ash and Gary finally face off in the semifinals, because that match is nothing if not personal, and Ash doesn't use Pikachu. Given the circumstances and Joy's words in this scene, I feel that shows remarkable maturity. But it'll be a few years before we're there, and right now, Ash is still a well-meaning brat. Speaking of brats, though far less pure-hearted, Damien. Does this guy or does he not have the most annoying voice ever? In fact, Maddie Blaustein commented on the Pokemon 4 commentary about it that, you know, Maddie was practically a hotline for bratty kids who abused their Pokemon. But you want Damien to have an annoying voice. He's the kind of guy you just want to hate. He's everything that's bad about Pokemon, and you don't want to like anything about him. So, in this scene, Damien also has a huge bag of Pokeballs, supposedly with Pokemon in them. As you're only allowed to carry 6, I'm interested to know if there's actually Pokemon in them, or if he's faking it. Certainly, if there are Pokemon in all of those balls, only 6 of them will be usable. Then again, Damien seems like the type who would break the rules, and, you know, I'm sure there are a few hackers who can find the flaws in the Pokeball system, like, you know, people who hack the cell phones or the iPods or something to make their own apps. Anyway, Bulbapedia also notes that Damien, you know, might not have a Pokedex, and that might have something to do with it. So, you know, who knows? And along that line, I read a fanfic once, and I think this needs to be said because clearly that author was confused. But Pikachu not being in his Pokeball does not mean that Ash gets to carry 7. Just because Pikachu's never in it doesn't mean that the Pokeball doesn't count, and Ash still keeps it. In fact, I think he still wears it on his belt despite the fact that it's near useless, but rules are rules, and Pikachu and the Pokeball go together, and even if Ash could hoodwink the Pokedex, he wouldn't because he's all about doing things right by the Pokemon League. 6 is 6. But back to the drama. At the center, Brock takes just a minute to freak out about Nurse Joy, and I have to say, this is one of my favorite Ash reactions, you know, when Ash does react, because normally he just kind of stands and stares. This reaction to Brock's professions of love is really quite cute. Like, Misty comments that she looks just like all the other Nurse Joys. Ash is like, yeah, it's a joyful world. Snap out of it already. It's just cute. I love it. If Charmander's tail goes out, it might die, so Ash and Co. run out into the rain to find the Charmander, who, in addition to having weather trouble, is now getting attacked by Spearow. What is it with Spearow in this series? Ash, having learned nothing from the first episode, throws a rock at them, which backfires a bit, then gets Pikachu to zap them, which backfires a lot, but the Spearow leave, and Ash manages to keep Charmander's tail flame lit until they get back to the center, where Joy sets to work healing it as best she can. I'm kind of interested in Misty during this bit, because, first of all, there's a Pokemon in possible life-threatening condition, and she's whining and complaining about having to run in the rain and it's cold, yada yada yada. I really hated her for a minute. But on the other hand, when Ash confronted her and told her that no one was making her come, she immediately switched attitude, saying that a Pokemon was in need. Misty both intrigues and frustrates me. And going through all these older episodes, I think I'm starting to understand her better. I feel like she can't be Ash. Her personality and her life, she can't be like Ash, who is so... The Japanese word I'm thinking of is masugu. I'm not sure what a good English word would be. Maybe straightforward? Affront? I want to say hard on his sleeve, but that's not always true to Ash because... Well, he is that way with Pokemon, but not with humans. And either way, Misty can't do that. Someone in trouble, have to run off and save, hero thing that Ash does so naturally. But I think she wants to. It's just that she's not as, you know, masugu straight. She has to come at it from an angle. Like, she's always bringing up the bike. She can't just come out and say, I think you're kind of interesting to travel with. Instead, every time the issue's brought up, she trots out, the bike. I'm following you for the bike. And now, she clearly wants to help Charmander just as much as the boys, but she needs to hide behind her weird little walls and uses complaining to give the illusion that she's being forced. That's what I think, anyway. She's not Ash. She'll never be Ash, but she's still got it where it counts, and that's why she's out running through the rain for this little Charmander. Back at the center, Nurse Joy does her typical how-could-you-let-it-get-so-bad speech that Ash must be getting used to by now, but it's even less Ash's fault than, you know, episode 2 was, and they explain that it's Damien's Charmander and ask her to help it, and she promises to do what she can. The waiting room is a solemn place, Brock worrying, Ash and Misty showing displaced anxiety, but finally, Nurse Joy has good news. Charmander is going to be A-okay. But by morning, Charmander has disappeared from the ER. Ash thinks Charmander went back to the rock, and Brock is disappointed, but Ash shows remarkable understanding of Charmander's character, saying that Charmander knew that they cared about it, but it couldn't forget about Damien. Ash is, after all about undying loyalty. He'd have waited for Pikachu. For years, if he had to. Like, he'd have waited that whole year for Apom to not be Queen King anymore. And you know, I have my theory that he would have also waited around for Gary if Gary told him to stand there and wait for him. Which is why that whole thing is such a mess. But you don't have to take that as law. Misty does her thing and changes the subject, leading them to Vermilion, and what can the boys do but follow? Team Rocket comes into play with a variation on the typical hole trap. Pikachu is too light to trigger it, but the three humans are more than enough to break the hole covering, leaving Pikachu alone and unprotected. Our human heroes have a little trouble getting organized due to the fact that Ash is standing on Brock and Misty, and they aren't quite able to get out of the hole to save Pikachu from what is this, the anti-Pikachu rubber balloon bazooka thing. Luckily, Charmander shows up to save Pikachu and orders Team Rocket to give Pikachu back. When they don't, he uses Flamethrower. This gets rid of Team Rocket and gives Ash and Co. a chance to get out of the hole and thank Charmander for saving them, but before they can ask if it would like to come along with them, Damien steps out, apparently having seen the whole thing. He says he came back for Charmander just as he'd promised, and I hate this scene. I love to hate this scene. Damien is the worst of the worst. Everything that Ash and Brock throw at them, he counters with more signs that Charmander is in an abusive relationship. Damien is not good for him, not good for anybody. In response to Damien's joy that he didn't even have to train Charmander himself to toughen it up, Brock says that raising Pokemon is the best part of being a trainer, but Damien thinks it's the most boring part. It's going to be a long, long journey for you, buddy. And you know, in the games, sometimes it does get a little bit trying to, you know, try to level up your Magikarp so it can finally evolve. Like, that does get tiring after a while, but goodness knows, didn't we all wish that Pokemon were real? Like, and you know, if we were living in this anime where, you know, you could really interact with even that little Magikarp that could only use Splash, would we have even cared? Like, raising that Pokemon and talking to it and swimming with it and whatever would have been the best part of being a trainer. Like, we couldn't have cared less if that thing, how long it took that thing to evolve. But Damien also says, what's wrong with dumping off a weak Pokemon, which is, you know, number one sign that you're about to get your comeuppance in this show. So when he tries to call Charmander to return, Charmander refuses, hitting the Pokeball back and using Flamethrower. Pikachu helps out with a Thunderbolt, and Damien flees. Charmander wants to go with the main character, and Brock tells Ash to catch it. And this was kind of surprising to me, as Brock was so invested. But thinking of all the things to come, as well as Brock's reasoning that Ash would be a great trainer to raise it, it does make sense. You know, Charmander's got issues, after all. He's been raised by a trainer who preaches only strong Pokemon, etc. Charmander's going to have a lot to prove to himself, and to Ash, and to the non-existent Damien. Because, you know, he might not be mentioned in the series anymore, but I'm sure Charmander isn't going to forget so easily. You know, Charmander needs someone to love him unconditionally, as well as someone who will help him to be strong, because he wants that so badly. And in that case, Ash is a great candidate, because Brock just doesn't battle as much as he used to. But I can't help but wonder, what would change if Brock took him in? What would have gone down differently? There needs to be a fanfic about this. But now that he's caught, Charmander can learn what it's like to have a relationship based off of trust and caring rather than fear and desperation, and Ash has a new friend. On to Vermillion, folks! This Saturday, we're going to hit the last part of our 3 Kanto Starter trilogy with Here Comes the Squirtle Squad. So, you have a little bit of time if you get the chance, watch it, write in, and show us some Squirtle love. Or you can tell us what you think would change if Brock raised Charmander instead of Ash, or your conflicting love and frustration with Misty, or general comments about the podcast. You can do that in a variety of ways. You can visit us on iTunes at Pikapi and leave your comments there, or you can visit the blog, Pikapi, at www.pikapipodcast.blogspot.com. And I just learned that you can also comment there using your LiveJournal ID, which isn't terribly important, but kind of cool if you've got one. And, you know, my geekiness only extends to certain areas, so this, you know, technology thing still blows my mind. So if Anonymous just doesn't do it for you, try it out. Count how many times I said you know in the first episode. That's an adventure. But whether you comment or just tune in and listen, thank you so much for being a part of this.
Pikachu! Pikachu!